KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. This is Craig, Rainbow Radio. My guest here, Davina. Say hi, Davina.
Hi.
We'll be back on the other side of Iz, and I'll tell you all about it. Got a great schedule today. KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio. Craig, Rainbow Radio. It was a lovely 54 degrees this morning in Laguna Beach. A little chilly. Well, where I was, that's what it, I was actually in San Juan Cap, woke up in San Juan Capistrano this morning, but it was 54 degrees. So it's a little chilly. We're not used to that. We're spoiled so rotten. I got a few announcements today. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Mike Johnson of Compass Realty, for sponsoring our show yet again at Rainbow Radio here. And a couple other announcements I want to do. We have a Christmas party at KX93.5. It's coming up this December 8th. 93 presents its fourth annual Christmas with Nancy Wilson of Heart. Have you, Davina, have you heard of Nancy Wilson?
Absolutely. I love Heart.
So Nancy is joined with her band Roadside Royale, a Roadcase Royale, as well as openers Lee Sarah, which is Katie Goodman of the Vivian Girls, and Gothic Tropic, the front woman guitarist of Beck's band. This is the only annual concert approved in Laguna Beach by our beautiful backyard, in our beautiful backyard, Irvine Bowl, home to the Pageant of the Masters. Nancy will play all of Heart classics, including some new originals with Roadcase Royale. All tickets include reserved seat and admission to the Winter Wonderland in the Festival of Arts grounds, with craft food and drink and Santa Claus photo booth. That'll be fun.
That's a good time.
And a robust auction. VIP and meet and greet opportunities are available on a limited basis. Proceeds benefit KX93.5. Keep independent radio alive and well in Laguna Beach. So hopefully you can join us all on our Christmas party. And it wouldn't be a party without mentioning the sponsors. We have the Honecker family. They're the title sponsor. We appreciate that. That would be Mo and Hasty. So thank you for sponsoring. Wealth and WealthWise Financial, thank you. Cox Communications, thank you. Laguna Beach Beer Company, thank you. In the canyon there, Libre Tequila, which is an exclusive tequila partner. Tito's Handmade Vodka, Stu News, love Stu News, and Village Television. So those are the sponsors of our fabulous Christmas event. Again, that's December 9th at the Hollywood Bowl. No, it's not at the Hollywood Bowl, Craig. It's at the Irvine Bowl here in Laguna Beach, Pageant of the Masters Festival of the Arts facility. So That is all the announcements so far. I have more, but I kind of want to spread them out a little bit instead of bore everyone with early on. Let's get to our guest. She is sitting there so politely, and I'm gonna try and embarrass you, which I try to do every once in a while,
okay.
Davina. And first of all, let me embarrass myself with your last name, Kotlitsky.
Kotlitsky.
Davina Kotlitsky, and you'll have to tell us about that more later, is a former executive director of Marriage Equality USA. Davina wrote this seminal book on marriage equality called Why Should You Give a Damn About Gay Marriage in 2004. Boy, that sounds interesting. Her most recent book, I love this title. It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself. And we kind of had a little conversation about that. We got a lot to talk about. It's a self-help book that was just released last week. Last week. As a psychologist and life coach, the book helps her to connect people with their authentic selves. Mm-hmm. It has some great endorsements and placed number 2 bestseller on Amazon's hot new releases in the spiritual self-help. Davina's new book, just released topic, will be of discussion today. She asked, why don't people live authentic lives? They love engaging in work that makes them happy, enjoying satisfying relationships, and speaking their truth and following their bliss. Boy, I don't know if we can answer that. Maybe with a glass of wine, I probably could do that really well. But her new book focuses on solving this problem by showing you how to move through fear and create a life that honors your authentic self-expression, which is the only path to ever feeling fulfilled.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So that is quite a tall order you've charted for yourself, Davina. So my first question, I guess, I always like to think that everyone is a bit passionate about what they do. And I, from reading your bio and everything, you seem very passionate. What struck you about the passion to endeavor yourself with what you're doing with your life right now? Was there a particular moment when you thought, an aha moment when you felt that, you know, this is interesting. This may be something I want to pursue.
Well, I've always, I've been on the path to psychology and helping people since I was young. When I came out of the closet in a rural part of Oregon, and
where
Gresham, it's grown since. But
I know where Gresham is. I'm from Wairika. Have you heard of Wairika?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, so, folks. Just a little sidebar there.
So, I mean, if you've this was back in the 80s, and it was a time when we got death threats. We didn't even know that bullying was something you could go to your teachers or principals and talk about. I remember the high school football captain threatened to bring a shotgun to school and blow my head off. I was the only out lesbian at my school. There had been a couple of gay guys that were friends of mine that had come out. They were seniors when I was a freshman. So they were gone by the time, as I was going up through high school. So, but what I realized was that when I came out was that I would rather deal with the hostility of the world and whatever the world had to put on me than to deal with the inner shame of not following my heart and the cost of that. And I think that, if you're an LGBTQ person, you know what I'm talking about, that when we're hiding, when we're trying to deny who we are, it's so painful. And yes, the homophobia, the external things that we have to face along the way can also feel very treacherous. But to abandon ourselves is much more treacherous.
That's a monumental decision at a young age, not really perhaps seeing the full consequences of being yourself and out, huh?
I think what it gave me was once I came out and I was facing everything head on, literally, it showed me how to be resilient. It showed me, you have to keep picking yourself up and you have to love yourself. And that the person that you're going through life with is yourself, and if you abandon yourself, you're abandoning the most important person in your life. Yeah. And if you don't love yourself, it's the most painful. And we can keep wanting other people to love us, which we do. We want to be loved by others, but if we don't love ourselves first and we don't take the time to care for ourselves first, it comes at such a high cost, and everything else just is a house of cards.
Yeah. Yeah, and insignificant. We were talking earlier when Davina arrived about, what were we talking about?
Well, just you said how so many people don't embrace this notion of being themselves until something tragic happens, or they reach a certain age, or they've had losses.
Right, and then they decide that to liberate themselves, I suppose, would be a good word.
Yeah. And it's so important, you know, so the book is definitely about where people are choosing. It's for people who are choosing change. So they realize I'm stuck. I've got to make a move in my life. I'm unhappy. I've done it the old way, and the old way doesn't work. And also people who change has chosen them. They have had those kinds of experiences, illnesses, loss of home, bankruptcy, divorce, death of a loved one.
You know, Davina, I always like to, I guess, put forth the perspective of the listeners who, and I know we have listeners all over, including India and some countries, because this is truly much of a portion of the station is about global internet radio. Mm-hmm. And so those listeners often contact or send a message, and I can see if they're on the web, I can usually see the sources. We have several in South or in Africa and in India and in a lot of wonderful countries that are oppressed. Mm-hmm. So to be able to sit here and speak freely and hope that some of these people are listening and getting a message, you know, I think that there's probably a lot of youth at risk out there that are questioning, just as you did at your young age, mm-hmm. you know, weighing the consequences against the benefits and wondering what is the best way to go. I know I did myself, you know. Yeah. I decided at a young age I'd take it to the grave. I decided suicide wasn't something I'm particularly interested in, although it did occur to me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really come out till like I was 23. But apparently your decision was earlier than that. And through that back and to my question, that was your passion. That created your...
Yeah. And Craig, and even 23 is quite young. I mean, I work with a lot of people that are finally being able to speak their truth in their 40s, their 50s, and their 60s. They're coming out as transgender. They're coming out as, you know, lesbian or gay. And so, you know, it's still a personal journey of speaking your truth and really loving yourself enough to say what's true for you and what who you are.
I never thought I would be hosting a radio program in a beach city in Southern California when I was 14. So you never know what the future might bring. And I think for a lot of those people, they never thought they probably thought prior to maybe the present day, there wasn't really a good time. And now perhaps it is a good time, but that and a lot of things to consider. But I just hope, I guess my hope here this morning is, Davina, is that the youth out there that are so conflicted mm-hmm. with this and looking for an answer, and the answer's in them.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Absolutely. It's so true, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to take that road. Or what was it? The Alchemist was a mm-hmm. good book about
perfect
self-journey.
Book.
Yeah, and discovering what is really important is what's in oneself.
But you have to take the journey.
Yeah, to understand it and appreciate it, yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Years ago, I met with a Diné medicine man and Navajo medicine man, and he said the longest journey that you will ever take is from your head to your heart. And it's so true. We in Western culture live from our head, and we try to do the logical thing. We try to, you know, we let the brain lead. And what I'm inviting people to do is to let your heart lead and let your heart inform your head. Because when we're living from, when we live from our head, we're trying to accomplish things. We're going after stuff. We're doing what other people think we should do. We're very focused on consumerism, materialism, and these things. And when we ignore our heart, we do it to our own peril, because living from our head creates that empty ghost, which is a Buddhist, or hungry ghost, which is a Buddhist concept, right? Where we're trying to fill from the outside in.
Like, and trying to fill a bucket with a lot of holes in it?
Exactly. And for many, and this isn't just for LGBT people, for straight people too, but for many LGBT people, when we deny who we are, we try to cope with it. We try to make it go away with drinking and using drugs and things like that. And for anybody, when you're denying what's, you know, maybe you're an accountant, but your dream is to be an artist, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe your parents had an expectation from you of what you're supposed to be, and you've been following that again and not listening to your heart. And so when we do that, that's when we're susceptible to consumerism, to addiction, to trying to fill ourselves with sex and drugs and alcohol and
right.
consumerism.
Constant searching for something that to fill that empty spot.
Yes.
Though that's I like that concept that it needs to be from your heart and not from your mind as much. Your mind is the cautious part and your heart is the, you know, also I like to think, like to say too, that the human psyche is not bulletproof.
No.
And some people think that their psyche is bulletproof and they get reckless with it. And I always like to think that we're all human. We all have our frailties too. And you gotta be easy on yourself, you know?
Absolutely. And when you keep opening your heart and you keep connecting with your heart, you're going to have more compassion for yourself, more compassion for other people. And when we live from our heart, there's just more joy in our lives. It's when we live from our heart, we can enjoy the simple things like a walk around our neighborhood or watching the sunset with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Having a nice dinner with friends or family. We don't need a lot. We actually prioritize and get really clear on what really matters, which right now I think is so important, because with climate change and with all the losses and people feeling disconnected from one another and isolated and alienated, yeah. not being in your heart truly has tragic consequences.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of being in front of City Hall on Tuesday, and we had World Kindness, which is an organization, and it started after World War II, and it started in Japan when they hosted the Olympics, and there was so much unkind rhetoric going back and forth at the end of the war that they adopted a policy of kindness, and they instituted it as a part of their agenda.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it is. And so the only city in the United States to celebrate World Kindness was our own little Laguna Beach.
That's amazing.
And there was a proclamation before the city that was read that they proclaimed that November 15th, forever and ever, will be World Kindness Day in Laguna Beach.
Oh, I'm getting chilled. Let's let's take that and let's spread that so that Laguna Beach is not the only city.
And especially after this very contentious political arguments going back and forth, it's hard to believe. I still believe that the bulk of humanity is all honorable and good and mm-hmm. caring. And you still see moments where that is apparent. But if you were to listen to all of the other side of it, you could become very disturbed about what's going on and take it to heart. But I still like to think that there's the bulk of kindness is there. But you need to kind of bring it out and bring it in the forefront.
Yeah,
you know?
I absolutely agree, Craig. Yeah. And I think, not to get too political, but the fact is that first of all, this is a psychology thing. When we are afraid, we constrict and we become very protective.
Yeah. Okay.
When we're peaceful, we're more expansive, we're more generous. And right now, we are being very much manipulated to be afraid of things that aren't going to harm us. And when we're afraid, we look suspiciously at one another. We become xenophobic. We become homophobic. I mean, homophobia is a fear of gay people. Xenophobia is a fear. It's a fear of people who are different. And so when we're in that fearful place, we're not kind.
Yeah.
We're very greedy.
Well, on that, I have I asked Davina if she had a song. I'm going to play a song that she requested, and we'll be back. We have lots of this very early in the morning on KX93.5 to be talking about such a I want to say heavy weighted, but such a complex conversation about the human psyche, but nonetheless important, and I feel needs to be said. So here we are on KX93.5. Good morning to all my listeners out there, and here we go with special request. Especially for Davina.
see. The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day's coming. Ooh, people are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh, crystal blue persuasion. Better get ready. Gonna see. It's alright. So don't you give up now. So easy to find. Just look to your soul.
Look to your soul.
And open your mind.
Well, that was a throwback there. Tommy James and the Shondells. Where were you when this hit was number 111? I'm here with Davina, and we're having a good time on Saturday morning at Rainbow Radio. I have, she's here with me for the whole hour, so we've got lots to talk about. And I told her I had a news article that I would like her to weigh in on, and it's a surprise, so we'll see how she handles this one. I went and saw a movie this week that I had heard was a good movie to see, and it's called Boy Erased. Have you seen the movie?
I haven't, but I want to.
Yeah, it's gay conversion therapy, and it's based on a true story, and I found it. Well, there's a movie years ago called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Okay. Great movie.
And it was Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy and Sidney Poitier. And I forget who the other people were, but they were all very wonderful people. And it was about a couple that were in publishing in San Francisco and owned a newspaper. Sounds familiar. And they had a daughter who wanted to marry a black man. And it was a test to what they had taught their daughter about non-discrimination, about everyone is equal. And it came back right to them, and they had to decide what they taught their daughter and their her lifestyle was, or did were they going to say no, they didn't want her to get married. In those days, more people had to give permission. But they had, through the movie, the story told was that they had to stand by their position that they told their daughter. And it was a process that you saw, how they rationalized it, and they went through it. I think the same can be said for this movie. It's about this religious leader who is, forget who played the, well, let me read you about Boy Erased, so you know. It's a gay conversion therapy. It's about conversion therapy, which is against the law, right?
In California, but there are still states where it is still legal.
And if you're
at a certain age, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you're 14, 15, 16, you have no choice.
That's right.
Your parents can throw you in there, right, and tell you have to stay there.
Yeah, only I think less than 20 states have outlawed it. And even though the American Psychological Association has come out against it, it's still happening in some states.
I mean, you see the movie the rhetoric that they shame.
It's horrendous.
It just is horrible.
Friends and clients that have experienced that growing up, and yeah, it completely destroys people's lives. It makes them suicidal. They struggle with self-hatred. It's horrible.
Well, I'm glad this movie is out there and makes a statement about it. Again, it's called Boy Erased. The new movie Boy Erased is about a gay teen's ordeal when forced to attend a conversion therapy program. Is shining a spotlight on the treatment deemed bogus and harmful by most experts. The new research shows that key role parents often play in efforts to change the LGBT child's sexual orientation. The first of its kind study, which surveyed white and Latino young adults identifying as lesbian, gay, and bisexual or transgender, indicated more than half of them experienced efforts to change their sexual orientation during adolescence. So that segment, over half, also notable rates of depression and suicide attempts more than double for LGBT youth and young people whose parents tried to change their orientation,
yeah,
compared to peers who reported no conversion efforts.
Right, and another thing is it increases unsafe sex practices as well, because when your spiritual community or your parents are shaming you, it leads to self-destructive behavior and feeling like you deserve to be punished, and so people are more likely to engage in unsafe sex rather than protect themselves and feel that they're worthy of protecting and taking care of themselves.
They just don't care and figure whatever happens to them is their punishment.
That's right. There's so much shame that they feel that they deserve to be punished. It's so sad. And, you know, loving somebody is the most normal, healthy thing you can do. You know, and if you love somebody of the same sex, fantastic. And if you love somebody of a different sex, fantastic. And if you realize that the body that you were born with doesn't match the gender that you view yourself as, fantastic. You know, these are how wonderful that you're aware. It's unfortunate that we have people in around the world that still feel that there's something wrong with this, but that is, that's old school. That is shifting, and you just have to know that you can't listen to those people. You have to listen to your heart.
Yeah, I often read the news on the program, and Stacy, who's not here today, she had some stuff that came up, but she always disapproves when it's all negative, but sadly, there's so much on the international level. There's so much. Let's not say negative. Negative has a bad connotation, if you can make sense of that. Let's say harmful and information about what's going on about internationally, where gay and lesbian is not accepted. I want to say harmful. I'm not getting the right word, but unfortunate circumstances, let's say, in other places where there's really religion is a big part of it, unfortunately, and many other things play into it. But it's a culture that's developed for years and years, and it just doesn't get reversed in one day. Although it
but
seems
things
to
are
be
moving forward.
Yeah, it seems to be moving faster than ever in the history of the world.
Absolutely. You know? More and more countries are, you know, having equal rights for LGBT people. Things are changing. You know, those horrible sodomy laws are coming off the books, and even in places like India, things are changing. They are getting better. And it's up to each of us to keep doing our part. And again, the more that you can connect to that self-love and find ways to support yourself and connect with other people, we can change the world. And you know, when I was involved in the marriage equality movement, there were like six of us that showed up at a cafe, went to a back room in a cafe in Oakland, and we would meet like on Thursday nights and talk about how the fact we wanted to change the laws in California, we wanted to have equal marriage rights and how we could do that. And that group of six grew, and then we found people in other parts of the state and created these little chapters in other parts of the state from all the way up to Humboldt County.
I've always held that if you want to get something done of this nature, get a woman involved. She'll get it done.
Well, it wasn't just women. It was wonderful. But it was a really wonderful opportunity for gay men and lesbians to come together, bisexual people to come together and to work together for our common good. And we did. And so any issues that we're facing, really, a cup of coffee and a group of people can start changing the world. And that Margaret Mead quote, I know people hear it a lot, you know, a handful of people can, don't think a handful of people can't change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that does, or however the quote is.
Yeah.
It's so true. You know, so whatever it is that we're wanting to shift, we can empower ourselves, just like those kids in the Parkland shooting, who they have shifted the conversation about assault weapons and about gun control.
I when I watched them march on Washington, I couldn't stop crying. I was
amazing,
just beside
right?
myself. If you just tuned in to KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio, this is Rainbow Radio with Craig and hosting Davina. She's got a PhD in psychology, and she has just released a new book. It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself, and I love the title. And we're talking about when people being themselves and living. I love what the introduction said here with you. It says, with purpose to connect with your deep inner knowing. It's never too late to be yourself. And also, she asks this question. I'm going to state it again because I think it's so important. Why don't people live authentic lives when they love engaging in work, lives that they love engaging in work that makes them happy, enjoying satisfying relationships, speaking their truth, and following their bliss? So, the context there is that if you can, it's never too late to be yourself. If you be yourself, many of those things will be a part of you.
That's right.
Is a good way to put it. So
that's right.
So back to we were talking about conversion therapy, and
can I jump in with a story?
Yeah, please
okay.
do.
So I have a good friend, and I talk about him in the book. I share his story in the book with his permission. His name is Marcos Apollonio. And he was a Seventh-day Adventist minister in Brazil, and knew he was gay from a young age, did everything he could to try to make it go away, including going into the church and becoming a minister, a pastor. And he told the pastor what was going on, and one of the pastors told him, like, well, eat lots of garlic, like, that's going to, like, he's a vampire. And he did these things. He did everything he could. He got married. He had kids. And
their version of conversion therapy.
That's right. That's right. And of course, his love for men didn't go away because he's gay. And so anyway, the church found out and they kicked him out of the church. And he ended up, you know, pretty much being what is it, ostracized from everyone. But what he found after that, you know, after being outed, because basically he was outed by someone he was having an affair with.
Okay.
What he found out was that the people that truly loved him loved the real him, and the other people were loving the false version of him. And once, So when we're not being true to ourselves, people don't really love us because they don't even know us. They love this constructed self.
Right? Powerful insight,
and so then afterwards he knew, he was like, oh, I can rest and know who are the real people in my life who love the real me. And I don't have to, and the real people that loved him, obviously the people, they loved him for who he was, and they didn't, so what, he was gay.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Well, they always say you find out who your true fans are, but if you've put this false persona out there and that's what they love and that's not you.
Right.
And then you bring your real self forward, those that love you for those qualities will be there.
Right, and it feels so much better to be loved for your real self than to have a lot of people.
Your fault.
But see, the thing is that why people don't do that? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of losing approval. But you don't really have that person's approval until you really share the truth of who you are. And when you're really being yourself, people are going to love you because they're going to see that light that's in you that you've been hiding and covering up.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's a very insightful thing. I think you learn to have a false self when you feel you need to deceive because you don't want people to know that you're gay. So you create this false self. You learn to, I know in high school, you learn to make jokes about girls, and you said all the, I don't know. I got to the point where someone would say, did you see the game on Sunday? Now, it's not, that's the prejudice. That's a
stereotype.
Yeah, it's a stereotype. Most gays don't like it. I don't care for, but I got tired of all the jocks going, did you see the game? So finally I'd go, well, I think so. Is that the one is that the brown ball? It's kind of pointy on the ends. They look at me like, what? And some of them would get pissed. But, you know, I just got tired of hearing it and going along with it.
So
yeah. I went the other way with it. Which is being my true self, I suppose.
That's great.
Those that appreciate it are still my friends.
Absolutely. You don't have to love football.
No, you don't. You don't. You don't. Speaking of, we were talking about youth and being themselves, and it all is, to me, in preparation of being yourself is being who you are, and that means coming out for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult. And everyone has a different approach.
Yeah, and also when you're young, it's a great time to, you're still trying to figure out who you are, what's important to you, what matters, what your values are. And so give yourself some flexibility to be curious and to try different things out and see who you are. For example, if you start to think that you're transgender, try it out. See if that fits. You know, don't be afraid.
Because I want you to speak today to those at risk or those challenging themselves or those having a great deal of angst and wondering, who am I? What should I do? How should I handle this? And give them some advice, which is what we're doing here. And so is there anything you want to more elaborate about that? Just think of the young make kids on a maybe tuning in around the world a bit.
Yeah. So first of all, I know that there's enormous peer pressure that, kids will find something to pick on you no matter what. And so you just have to have your close friends by you, the people that you can trust. And you can't worry about pleasing every single person because there's always going to be somebody in your school or your environment who's going to say something negative to you, who's going to judge you, who's going to laugh at you. And you just have to tune that out. You have to be true to yourself. So, try things out. See what you like. Dress how you like.
That's a biggie.
Yeah, it's a real big one. But, if you go buy your own clothes. If your parents won't buy the clothes that you want, go buy your own clothes. If there are people in your peer group that you've been close to that can't accept you, well, maybe they're in the closet too, and that's why.
That's true.
So, it's important for you to share your truth. And even, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you're like, well, I might be gay, I might be bi, I might be transgender, I might be gender fluid. That's okay. You don't have to have the answers. Be in the question and let yourself explore first and foremost. And, when it's time to, and then when you're really clear, be who you are. But allow yourself to be curious and to try different things on. Don't make you feel like you have to be one thing or the other.
Some self-discovery is exactly a big important part of that, and understanding. I like that attitude. We're going to be right back. We have a song, speaking of coming out. All right. She's coming out. What do you think, Davina?
Definitely.
We were as I do too frequently, and I apologize. We were talking off mic a little bit about things, and sometimes in those conversations we come up with something that's important. And Davina pointed out that youth are at risk for certain, but there's also a whole generation that maybe have stymied themselves and are not being themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, coming out can totally refer to our sexual orientation or gender identity and really taking back our lives in that way. But also this book is also for those folks in your life, or if you're one of those people too, where there's something else that's been really important to you, but you have denied yourself the truth of that. So, you know, I work with a lot of people who are closet artists and writers. They've become very successful corporate ladder climbers, you know, attorneys, doctors, things like that. But maybe they have a passion for the arts. Maybe they are great writers. They've lived a certain life to please family or society, and it hasn't made them happy because it's not really what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I think of some friends of mine, an acquaintance really. Where he had his two kids, two daughters, the beautiful wife, the beautiful home. He's a billionaire, and he's miserable as hell.
Exactly.
And he's trying to figure out what makes him happy. I hope he figures it out, because he was not happy. Successful, yes, but not happy.
Right, and success isn't happiness. When you are looking at it from that kind of climbing the ladder perspective.
Right.
So to me, success is when you can really surround yourself with people that you love, when you can clear the clutter out of your life, and you're not dragging the past with you, right? You're not filling your space with things that are meaningless, but you're actually having real connection with yourself. You're taking time to smell the flowers, to go for walks, to be present on the planet. And, you know, we've just been so driven. And driven, you know, we associate success with being driven and accomplishment.
That is supposedly the persona of happiness, is that success, and that's not at all.
No, and I mean, there was a program, a movie called The Happiness Project, and they looked at people all over the world, and they found actually that after a certain amount of money, you're no happier than somebody that, you know, after $50,000, you're no happier than someone who makes $5,000. And the things that make us the happiest are when we have time and space to breathe, to be ourselves, to connect with loved ones.
Speaking of happiness, this is a little story. The story goes that the young man was in school, and the teacher gave an assignment to write down what they wanted in their life. Did they want to be a doctor? Did they want to get married, have kids, all these things
those markers for success.
Yeah, exactly. And were important. What is it you really want in your life? And the young student put that he wanted happiness. Mm-hmm. So the teacher called him up and said, you know, I don't think you understood the assignment. And he looked her in the eye and says, I don't think you understand life.
Wow. That's brilliant.
Isn't that great?
It's really great. Yeah, because we've all been sold on a certain dream, and the American dream, and whether you live in America or not, that's what's being broadcast throughout.
I remember when I was a little boy, and you'd always make a wish with your birthday cake, mm-hmm. right? So you'd blow make a wish and blow all the candles out, and so that was a conversation. He always told everyone what your wish was, but I remember my mother said, I don't want you to tell me your wish, but I want to know that I hope that you wish for happiness. I said, no, why would I do that? She says, well, what's more important? I said, I want a new car. And she goes, well, that would bring some happiness, but it's not happiness.
It's not lasting.
Yeah, so exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, we often want things because we think that they'll bring us joy and happiness. But really slowing down, being still, when you meditate, when you are just being more present, that allows you to enjoy aspects of your life, but not from a place of clinging or craving. You're not needing something, because unfortunately, again, we've this is something we are shifting.
Yeah.
We've been a very consumeristic society where it's like jumping from thing to thing, distraction from distraction, and wanting more and more and more. But what we find is all that does is make kids more depressed. I mean, the studies today show that kids are more depressed because the gadgets aren't, there's just a that inability to sit still. And so what we're finding is that when we teach kids how to meditate, when we also learn how to meditate ourselves, when we slow down, when we spend time in nature, we feel more joy and peace. And those things are lasting. The new gadget isn't going to last.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring lasting joy.
I think you can add to that, too, that this is another dynamic that I always feel is we can throw in the bucket with regard to stress and not being happy. I think at an early age, we're all asked, and this plays to your comment earlier, we're all asked, what do we want to be when we grow up? You want to be a fireman? You want to be a doctor at 5 years old? How the heck are you going to know?
Right.
You know, and then when you reach teen, which college are you going to go to? And so all of a sudden you're in an adolescent age and you're exploring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know really what razzes your berries, particularly.
Right. That's great.
And I think the fortunate person is the one who is involved in something they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Which is obviously you're involved in something you're passionate about. But the fortunate, and not everyone has that. Not everyone has that luxury. They get a job because they're supposed to get a job, and then brings unhappiness. But so I guess my point here is that we are bombarded never before with tons of multitudes of choices and pressure on top of that to make the right choice.
Right, and you can't know the right choice till you're in that moment. And that's the thing. We live in the future, and we force our kids to live in the future, and they actually need to be in the present.
Yeah.
And we need to be in the present, too. We need to, of course, think about certain things for our future, but there's like, you know, in the Bible they talk about God gave the Jews manna from heaven, and manna was only good for that one day. You couldn't eat yesterday's manna, and you didn't have access to tomorrow's. And I love this concept because it's about we can only make decisions. The most important decisions are made in the moment. What do you know now? What's your truth now? Because the world is constantly shifting and changing. And so, you know, you could decide, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to be a record store owner. And then by the time you get there, there are no more record stores, right?
Exactly.
So
because I think decades ago, you know, maybe the turn of the century, last century, not this century, that you had few choices. Mm-hmm. If you were born on the ranch and your father was a rancher or you're born into some business, pretty much that's what you did. College was still not on the horizon as much as it's been for the last 50, 60 years.
Right.
So, but along with that comes all the choices. And I do, I want to point out one thing. In the UK, they have a gap year. And you have to take your gap year, and it's before you continue your education. I don't know at what point it is. It's not necessarily between high school and college like we figure here, but it's in there. And and it's part of your gap year is to travel.
Yes, so you can see that things are done differently everywhere else.
And your culture's not the only culture,
not
you know?
At all.
And I often think of the young, well-to-do kids up in L.A. that it's all about going to the mall and getting the right clothes and getting all these things. And a bad day is when their cell phone won't work, you know?
Right.
And if they had the gap year and went to, I don't know,
The Peace Corps.
That it would, and I don't mean it as punishment. I mean it as enlightenment.
That's
you know?
Right. And we'll learn
and maybe find something. I remember in college too. My older brother took a test for an aptitude test for what you like, and it's based on your personality and a variety of things. Unfortunately, he said he should be a funeral director, which my father was.
Oh, interesting.
So my older brother had some of those same genes, I guess. But I felt that was an underused experiment, you know, to help people kind of.
I took one of those tests in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
And it was psychologist.
Oh, wow.
Writer and musician. And, you know, that's what I'm doing these days is, you know, writing and helping people through as a psychologist. Yeah. And so, but that test was great because it was just a mirror back of what I already, well, I didn't know that those about those careers per se, yeah. but it showed me, oh, this is what juices, this is what razzes my berries. I love that phrase. That's great. Yeah. So totally. And also things shift. Like I had a, I talk about a client in the book who, you know, started off in college and ended up leaving college or did a study abroad
yeah.
and then just kept traveling and traveling and traveling and how much that opened up life for him. You know, to be able to realize there were so many different things. I also have a client now who just moved to the UK, and she is so amazed by how different it is there that there's doesn't have to worry about being shot because they don't have guns.
Right.
And she has free health care.
Yep.
You know, if you go to Italy, for many years, much of Italy, you never saw a to-go cup or a to-go container because people were in the moment. You go, you have your coffee in the shop, you talk to the people at the, you know, the counter.
What
with
a novelty.
You. Yeah, you don't take away a coffee, you stay there, you're present, you enjoy your coffee break. You don't take it back to your desk and sip it there. Yeah. I mean, things are changing now, unfortunately, but yeah, there are different ways of doing things, and to get out and see that and see the world is so enriching.
I do think our culture is focused on performance and getting everything done in the moment, and your
totally.
Time management. What's your time management? What's your schedule today? And at the end of the day, you know, did you smell the roses? Oh, I didn't put that on my schedule.
Exactly. And
I need to put that on my schedule.
I'm a huge fan of Michael Moore. I'm just going to come out and say that. I love his movies. They're
yeah.
depressing, but you learn so much. He has one movie about these great ideas that Americans have had that we don't use anymore, but other countries are using, that it's a fantastic movie. And one of the things is kids sitting down and eating together in France, and they use silverware,
yeah.
and they have wonderful table manners. I mean, these are ideas that have come up in the U.S., but we don't implement them anymore. So it's fantastic. He has another movie where he talks about how our democracy has been hijacked, and that capitalism and democracy have been, you know, equated, and they're not the same thing. And
right.
actually, democracy has gone away in the U.S., and in its place, capitalism, such that here we are working all the time,
yep.
focusing on what can we mass produce, feeling like our personal value is related to our net worth. Our worth is our net worth. And it shouldn't be that way.
It comes back to happiness. And when you see someone who's done a good job on something, or, you know, they got a new shirt, or they did something nice for someone, and you said, oh, that's really nice of you, and compliment that person and say kind things, really goes a great distance to bring down all these other bad energy things, I guess I like to call them.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember we are human beings, not human doings. And so this book is an invitation to go back to your essence, to reconnect with your essence, and move from that place, your heart, your beingness.
Yeah, one thing I like to do is hug.
Okay.
I'm a big person. I don't know if not everyone has ever met me, but I'm a big person. I'm 6'4". I weigh about 280, right? And when I go to hug someone, I can kind of smother them. And sometimes I used to think, well, I don't want to do it. They might be uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always make a judgment call. I don't think I've made a mistake really yet. And that when I like someone, I hug them.
Mm-hmm.
I've hugged Ida Mae probably a dozen times already. She's getting kind of tired of it.
You too. And I hug you too.
Yeah. Hugging is great. It's nice to ask first because not everybody likes a hug.
That's true. They have their space,
but,
I know.
But hugging is a great way to connect with people if people want to be hugged. Absolutely.
Yeah. I do.
And compliment people. I think that is so kind.
Yeah.
I love you,
Ida Mae.
It's true. Well, yeah, staying connected. I mean, you know, when we go to get our coffee, not just putting in our order, but saying, good morning,
yeah.
how are you? How's your day? I mean, we start to treat people like robots, and unfortunately, we got to change this. But people, you know, the more automated we become, right, we forget that people are people, and we can't treat them like robots.
I have a friend who's a bartender. Well, he's in the beverage service at the Ritz-Carlton. Joey Meetzel, maybe he's listening. Hi, Joey.
Hey, Joey.
So he always, we'll go out fairly often, maybe once or twice a month, and it involves a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say, oh, I have a vodka soda, and that's all I'll say. And he looks at me, and he says, you're supposed to say please and thank you.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, and I've caught myself. Yeah. I go to bartenders. I don't always say, may I please have a, and thank you.
Yeah. It's important. It's good that he pointed that out. Yeah. You can catch yourself doing it.
So I make a big deal of it now.
I think it's so important. I have two bonus boys. My sweetie has two kids. And it's really important to teach them those things because sometimes they just want to go to the machines at a checkout counter or deal with, you know, because they're very robot. They deal with the tech. And it's so important to have them stay in front of people and, you know, and say please and thank you.
Okay. Well, we're overrunning our time slot here.
That's I love your message.
I was going to play a song. But we're just going to have to do a quick transition here. I want to thank my guest again today, in case you've tuned in late. Where can they get the book?
You can get the book online or ask through your independent bookseller. Ask them to order it. But online, all the different places, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, palsbooks.com, you name it.
And it's called It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself.
Follow your inner compass and take back your life.
And it's just out. And I'm so glad to have Davina here on the show this
Katulski.
Morning. Katulski. You noticed I avoided that. It called me out. All right.
Thanks, Greg.
But Davina, it's been a wonderful conversation. I couldn't wait for you to get here and start the conversation. And if you if you've missed the entire show, it's going to be available on rainbow-radio.com later this afternoon. You can listen to it in its entirety. And next week, we have some great people that produced a movie about a documentary about the Advocate publication, 50 Years of the Advocate. So that should be a really good show. Following that, we have another person, Oliver. Can't remember his last name at the moment, but Oliver here has a stage play about boxers and being gay and that culture, that whole culture. So I've got a great lineup coming up. Again, thank you for listening. This is KX93.5. Laguna Beach's only FM radio. This is Craig, and it's Rainbow Radio, and I'm going to turn it over to Ida May. Hopefully, we're having a smooth transition.
Let's try.
I don't have music queued up, so take it away, Ida May.
Here.